So welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and today we are coming with the final episode of season two for The Mandalorian. Last episode, Mandalorian gave the ultimatum, Grogu a death. Apparently Moff Gideon said, "I choose death." And Jay, how do you feel about this episode?
It was a great episode. There were some things in here that I didn't like, but petty, the things I didn't like. We talked about women in movies and how they are portrayed and how sometimes they are forced into the spotlight just because of the political environment now.
Yeah.
This is how you fucking do it. There was a large part of this episode was based on four women going through Imperial ship, and it was beautifully done. They were strong. They were taking charge. They were kicking ass. But yet, at the same time of them doing that, it did not diminish the male characters.
One of them is a wrestler, so...
Yeah, and I'm going to get to that.
Go ahead.
So, this is how you do it. So, they made them look strong, made them look like they were in control, they were kicking ass, and that was beautiful. But the way they did it, they didn't have to do it at the detriment of the male characters. Because it seems like movies now... They'll have the women be really, really strong, but the men do something really, really stupid to downplay them. And that wasn't the case in this. It was all equal. And I like that. That was a great thing they did. I know it's going to come up. Watch this episode at least about four times. And then I think part of the third time I realized, oh, damn, it's all the women going through this ship and fucking everybody up.
I was watching it with my wife, and just two dudes and four women. You know they're going to wreck shop.
Right. The emotional beats were there, and this was also a very fan servicey season finale. Done well. Done very, very well. The only issues that I had with this, the de-aging of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, that was Tron Legacy terrible. It was fine when he took off the hood. It was like he had a dead stare. The lighting was different. Head was moving, but his shoulders isn't.
Yeah. What they should have done just showed his face and the dialogue could have been cut away. But when he was speaking, they could have did an over his shoulder shot. Mm. That's how you could have played that off. But the only issues I had, like I said, they're petty. I don't know why they do this, but every time they have a wrestler in a television show, movie, or what have you, they have to do some type of wrestling move.
Either got to do a Frankensteiner.
Or something.
Or they had to do
some type of wrestling move. She did like a tornado DDT or something.
Yeah.
Which was cool, but I'm like, come on, man. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that at all. The only other thing I had an issue with was the face of Luke Skywalker. But overall, this was a great, great series. Now I'm kind of curious on where they're going to go with it. I do have an idea. But we'll talk about that later. I've really, really enjoyed it. Brought a tear to my eye a little bit, you know, thug tear. Because as a Star Wars fan, nobody really cares about Star Wars anymore. Nobody really gives a fuck. Nobody really cares enough to tell a good story. It's all about just making money. And to me, they did a good job with this story. And this episode alone was better than all three of the new movies, the new trilogy. And that's sad. This episode is probably about, what, 40 minutes?
Close to that.
How are you going to make a television show, one episode, better than a whole trilogy? I'll tell you how. Just put Jon Favreau in charge of it, man.
Get some other opinions. Keith, how do you feel about the final episode of season two?
One of the best things about this, to James's point, is that you had these strong leads, these strong characters. Pedro Pascal does more with his voice than he does with his face shown. And then when his face is shown, he's able to convey enough emotion and just bring enough presence to it. So the send-off for Grogu was on point. The mini arc with the Darksaber, that was important. Moff Gideon, you put him up to as being this one-tote villain, but they gave him another layer. Him losing this fight right now, he's already gotten what he wanted. He's sown enough discord within it so that the Mandalorian is not that big of a threat anymore. Now he's got his own ally plotting against him because of this Darksaber. Giancarlo Esposito, he sold it.
He's a great actor.
He's a great actor. And Moff Gideon is just another villain that added layer, that added depth to him.
He has a lot of charisma, man. You hate him, but you kind of like him because he's head of the game. You know what I'm saying? He's already thinking ahead.
He's methodical. So
you like him, but you hate him.
Yeah,
and that's what makes a good villain.
Let Grogu go. He said, okay, I just want the child. He's like, okay, take him. And then he fights the Mandalorian. What'd you dare for? And then once he gets to the bridge, season 3 is going to be interesting. It's no longer the Mandalorians bound together. He's sown enough conflict and discord within them to make a play for future episodes and everything. Ming-Na is almost 60, I think. And she was just fucking people up. She was just kicking ass. So props to her. She's up there.
Maybe she's
trained.
There's so many movies, or like you said, trained. She was smooth with it. I assume that she was probably like in her early 50s. I think she was near 60. But then now that I think about it, was she Chun Li in Street Fighter?
Yep. But the minute I saw the X-Wing pop up, I was like, oh, Luke Skywalker. I'm like,
it's me, it's Jar Jar.
he comes sweeping in. Like, it's just a lone X-Men. You're like, oh Lord, here it comes. Yeah. And then he gets out and he just starts going to town.
That was so beautiful. Yep.
Hokey and contrived, but it was hokey and contrived in a good way. It was enough. That was pure fan service. I thought his
done well.
The last 2 minutes of Rogue One.
Yeah,
with Darth Vader just kind of walked down that corridor and just killed everything in his path. It was almost the same thing, beat for beat. He just went through and destroyed, decimated everything. And you're like, okay, this is what I'm talking about. Luke Skywalker just standing there. All right. And
didn't break a sweat at all.
But I have to say, I was disappointed. And one thing was that they honestly need to recast the role. I'm all for keeping it alive for Mark Hamill. Perfectly fine with that. And I would love to see Luke Skywalker's later adventures, especially if we're just going to pretend that the sequel trilogy didn't happen. I would love for them to do something where an older man, instead of him drinking alien milk and stuff on some weird planet, I would love for them to do something like that. If you're going to bring him in, you can't keep bringing those original characters back and then throwing technology that is not ready.
They might as well have done that with Solo at the point.
Exactly.
I know they got kind of happy with Grand Moff Tarkin and also the Leia, but
yeah.
The Grand Moff Tarkin scan, one was the actual actor that actually kind of looked like him, first of all. But then they just went in a different direction. But I want to get into that with my comments.
Sold more than Mandalorian lore, and the Darksaber is not as the whole power struggle that may occur because of that. Then there is the loss of Grogu. That's going to be an interesting take on what happens next season. But for this episode, the beats were perfect. The post-credit scene, I love that. I was going to stop watching the credits when they rolled, but on a whim, just sat through it. And you see Tatooine, and you just see all the throwbacks to Return of the Jedi there. And Boba Fett pops up, and you're like, oh, gone through this a couple times. I've seen it a couple times, and I have to say, like, this is my favorite episode. I think realize here that the action director, whoever handled the saber scene sequence for Luke Skywalker, they needed him to either a work on the Ahsoka Tano show, but it needs to be like that. You gotta have good saber combat in order if you're gonna have a Jedi pop up. And this did, and I was happy for it and glad for it. So yeah, this is a fantastic episode. If you're gonna bring the old actors in, the old characters in, you need new actors. Just recast the roles. You're not offending anyone if you recast the roles.
All right, go to the man that just want to let you know he's gonna have a merry Trapmas and a happy FU, Gangsta Mike. How'd you feel about the final episode of season 2 for Star Wars The Mandalorian?
He's kind of already said everything that I was gonna say, but just to echo Jay and Keith, I thought it was a great episode, start to finish. It basically went, we had already discussed, the only person that didn't show up that I thought may show up was Ahsoka, but she wasn't necessary at all, to be honest. He went to go see Bo-Katan and request her help. And then they formulated a plan to go get Grogu. I thought everything was well done. They already touched on the all-female scene and portion of it, and I had actually was talking to Beep about it, watched it, and he texted me like 7 in the morning. I was like, me and Keith have been talking, and Jay have been talking about it, and Barry, about how they always force the woman thing. And I was like, this is how you do it. Just organic. Let it just flow naturally. And it serves the purpose that you wanted to serve. Like, it was a great fucking scene. And you didn't have to force anything about it. Just let it happen.
Yeah, you didn't even realize it. Well, I would say I didn't realize it until I watched it like 3 or 4 times. I was like, wow, okay. You said it was organic. It takes time to notice if it's organic because it just flowed so well. If you force it, it's noticeable. And now that's the issue. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, Mike.
No, you good. Luke will probably be where they go, but everybody kind of had the outliers like Mace or Ezra or, and I can't remember his name, dude from the video game, was a New Order. That may be one of them. Like he said, when I saw the X-Men, I immediately said, okay, it's got to be Luke. And I said, well, maybe not. And then once I seen the green lightsaber, I said, all right, well, we know who it is now. Throwback to the Rogue One scene with Darth Vader, so I guess like father-like son sort of thing. And it was fan service, but I thought it was well done because since Return of the Jedi, even then, you didn't really see Luke get out, so to speak. The new Jedi that's training everyone and things like that. So that was cool to see. In particular, I like the last scene when he gets Grogu. I think it's one of the most beautifully shot scenes I've seen in a long time. Even without having kids, I understood what Din Djarin was feeling in that moment. You've got this child that you've been caring for. And while he did tell Grogu, you got to promise me you'll go with whoever comes for you because I can't train you. You can see that he didn't want to let him go. When he was touching his helmet, Luke said he's asking your permission. And he touched him. And then when Pedro Pascal got to the helmet off, I was like, oh, shit. I was like, this is deep. A couple little tears flowing, and then Luke and Grogu walked to the elevator, and then Grogu smiled, and I was like, oh, damn, this is deep. I was like, this is really well done. So I like that scene. And then, like he said, the other thing I like is the fact that Grogu's out of the picture a little bit now gives it back more focus to the Mandalorian, so it's all the implications from this episode. The fact that he has the Darksaber, take back Mandalore, because he's been trying to find his people. And if he does, is he going to try to evoke the old beliefs that he has, or is he going to try to go with some new beliefs? Is Bo-Katan going to turn? Like, it's all these different directions that they can go. So it left me excited in 3, and then, like I said, it's shooting 4 right after that. So sounds like they're going to have big plans, and I would assume that if Grogu goes train, then the next time we see him, I would hope by then we get some words and some lightsaber action, not just Google Gaga's and looks and all that kind of stuff. But we'll see. My only sticking point, everybody already hit on it, was just the motion capture on Luke. I made the comment the other day, it was definitely one of the motion picture budget, but now that Disney and Bob Kapek and all of them are saying they're more focused on streaming services now, maybe they'll up the budget going forward. But I agree. I think they need to recast Luke for at least this portion. If you're going to do older stuff, then I think it's fine to stick with Mark Hamill. But if you're going to go this route and focus on Luke training Padawans and trying to create a new Jedi, then yeah, I think you need to recast the role and not waste your time trying to do as much capture stuff because it's going to end up hindering the series in a lot of ways. That's it.
All right. So I liked this episode from start to finish, and as everyone already stated, the last 10 minutes of it just goes completely bonkers. So I was not expecting Luke Skywalker. Just really not expecting when the X-Wing showed up, and it was a single X-Wing. I was like, okay, and as soon as someone stepped off the elevator, those lightsaber sequences were much better than any of the sequel Star Wars lightsaber sequences. Anything other than that one where I guess it was Finn and Kylo Ren in the snow. So that was like the first one because that was just like a part of the trailer. And it was like, oh, there's a lightsaber with a hilt that does not make sense. It does not make sense. It is impractical. It can cut your fingers off. That is the only thing I can remember from any of the sequel, not including the Rogue One scene, but it's the only thing I remember. This will be forever seared into my brain that Luke Skywalker got it in, the Dark Troopers, the business, I mean, crushed one of them, just said, look at me, I'm crushing stuff in my hand, Dark Troopers just folded. I mean, he's doing the Undertaker, like, give him the belt. Put the belt on Luke Skywalker right now. He's ready. Yeah, I watched that several times. I just kept going back to it. And it wasn't like over the top because, again, we keep talking about the, I guess, the prequels and how they handled lightsaber sequences. And original trilogy had to handle it the way that it did. You had this whole bunch of actors. You didn't really have a whole bunch of stunt people that you can face scan, face map, do the Wolverine situation where you just either digitally built a body that looks like Hugh Jackman. Every action scene that required Hugh Jackman's likeness.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt real quick, but the reason Lucas couldn't do the fight scenes the way he wanted to do them, they didn't invent the carbon fiber rods that they were using for the prequels. All kinds of weird stuff with the samurai method, the kendo method, very minimal movements.
Biggest thing is that the negative is the Luke Skywalker. It looked fine when he took the hood off. It looked fine. His face is still, his mouth is moving. And his mouth is not moving enough. He's not emoting enough. And lighting is a little off on him compared to everybody else. We have seen examples, recent examples, even Disney's own examples of Samuel Jackson in Captain Marvel. That
yep.
Samuel Jackson is an older gentleman. Captain Marvel, it looked like he was straight out of Long Kiss Goodnight.
It was yeah, that was pretty good.
You also have
that Ant-Man with yeah, Michael Douglas.
Yeah, you also have that example. You also have the example of Robert De Niro, the Irishman, that they're good examples of doing this, even like practically, that they didn't have to build whole sets, face scans a body. They just did it in camera and then digitally manipulated everything. It's not like Disney doesn't have the money.
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, 9 out of 10, they just didn't do the budget for it because in those instances, like even Sam, basically he played the role. He just had dots all over his face. Same thing with Michael Douglas. And that's all they had to do. They could have had Mark Hamill walk in after all the fighting was done for the whole dialogue piece, put some dots on his face, have him do the dialogue, and then de-age him.
I think that's what he did.
Well, I need to see something, like how they did that. But that was the only big negative for this episode, that you're going to have this momentous occasion. You came off of all these sequel movies that populace is divided on, and the one thing that people can unite on particularly is Luke Skywalker. Like, no one's going to say anything negative about him. Have this golden opportunity to reintroduce him to a whole new group of people again,
right,
in his prime. Just fell short from there. It was like, are you a Jedi? It's like, I am. And his lips aren't moving. Shoulders and his head are just two different objects. Other than that, great episode. Best episode. It's good to see this Disney fix this as opposed to Star Trek, which, Keith, I'm not sure if you know what's going on with Discovery.
No, I've not been watching that mess.
Yeah, Discovery's going off on like these weird, weird, weird tangents now. It's good to see Disney fix this. All right, well, let's just go to scores.
I give this a 10. This was perhaps the best episode. They did everything right. Like I said, the only thing that was wrong was the face scan of Luke Skywalker or whatever, the aging or whatever the hell they use is just not good. There's ways around that, and they didn't do that. And I understand why they didn't, because I guess that was the fan service-y part. So fan service, which was not overwhelming and wasn't just there for no particular reason. The fan service part of it actually propelled the story. Unlike The Rise of Skywalker, a lot of fan service that was very unnecessary.
Not very good. Just
yeah, it wasn't very good at all. It's so many things that was just so good about this. By me being a Star Wars fan and everyone on this podcast, it was a beautiful thing to see Luke probably at his prime going out like just a damn beast. You never see it. You hear about it. You read about it, but you never fully see it. And I know there's more to it. These troopers are no joke, for one, because then he had a hard time with just one. With just one. And he's a badass. They could have wiped him out totally. And Luke just came in and just destroyed them like they were just nothing. It didn't break a sweat. It was very reminiscent of, everyone has said, I think Mike and you may have said this, it was very reminiscent of Rogue One when Vader went down and destroyed everyone in the hallway. Very good, man. As a fan, it was just amazing.
I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, James is loving this. James loved this part right here.
Yeah, I couldn't even say anything. And then even if you paid attention to it, he even did like the over-the-shoulder block like Anakin did in Revenge of the Sith. Go to the next person. Yeah. Yeah, do that.
All right, Keith.
I'm looking at a 10, even though the face mapping technology wasn't the best. I'm not going to take points away from it because of technology and budget didn't do much with it. Another well-paced episode. They didn't put any filler to try to fill up an hour. They said the episode's 38 minutes. That's it. The episode's 38 minutes, and I'm fine with that. It was a well-paced episode. One, they told a story, and they didn't drag out Grogu's fate. From episode one, you knew that the child was going to be a central focus of the story, but it wasn't the primary focus of the story. It was always about the Mandalorian. It's not about the Mandalorian and the kid he's rolling around with. It's always about the Mandalorian and them acknowledging that fact and showing that the child was one of the essential story elements, despite his popularity. It was good to see it take it that level. Like him going off with Luke Skywalker was just, that's exit stage right. They did a perfect send-off to a character, a well-loved character and a well-liked character. I appreciated them taking the old favorites and bringing in Boba Fett and bringing in the other Mandalorians, bringing on their story elements as well, and making it seamless. Bo-Katan being the strategist she is, they didn't marry Sue Din Djarin's character. He's not sitting there creating genius strategies while being in best shot in the galaxy, the best fighter in the galaxy, as well as a superb and genius level strategist and tactician. He needed help. He needed assistance. He got tactical assistance from who was Bo-Katan, who was making tactical plays. Boba Fett was handling the piloting duty. It was diverse enough and broken up enough that it made sense and it flowed naturally. Perfect episode to a well-done season. Again, I give it a 10.
Mike, does this receive the ultimate seal of gangsterism?
You already know 10 from me. My scale is always loosely based, but only nitpick, like I said, is the de-aging technology, but not enough for me to knock it down from a 10. Definitely a great episode. We're looking forward to season 3 now. Got a year to wait, but it is what it is. I'm just interested to see where they go forward. Like I said, I thought it was just a really, really well-done episode to end to a great season.
All right, so I give this a 10. This is the fulfillment of everything that was shown in that very first Mandalorian episode. It's like, all right, where are they going with this? Despite maybe one or two okay-ish episodes, this show has been on point, straightforward, very different than the J.J. Abrams verse of Star Wars, the dialogue, the show is shot, things like that. It's very radically different. This is what happens when you listen to the fan base instead of insulting the fan base that you're not accepting because you're X, or if you don't like this, something's wrong with you. Make quality content that appeals to everyone instead of appealing to one populace or the other. And that is the problem with most of these movies currently, is that they're going for the niche audience, continue to be chasing this magical unicorn of diversity and inclusion instead of making the best product. If you look at the last Avengers movie, that was forced. This one is just this casual. Great episode, great conclusion to the series. Whoever, I assume it's probably Industrial Light and Magic, but you need to get Lola, who has done, I think they had done the Samuel Jackson stuff and also the Wolverine stuff. Please fix that next season. But that's the Beast Game Podcast.